Matthew chapter number 8. I want to look here beginning in verse number 28. I want to give you an account about whenever the devils or the demons are cast into the swine by Jesus Christ. And as Elizabeth Taylor said to her ninth husband, we'll try not to keep you long. Matthew chapter 8 in verse 28. You can stand if you'd like in honor of the reading of God's word. It says, "And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear, so that no man might pass by that way." Notice what they said. "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." I want to preach on this thought this morning on four things the devil does not want you to know. Four things the devil does not want you to know. But these same four things, these devils happen to let them slip whenever they come face to face with Christ. Four things the devil does not want you to know. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege once again, Lord, to gather in your house. Lord, I thank you for each of these, Lord, that, Lord, want to hear your word. Lord, they need a message from you. Lord, they need fellowship with you. And God, I pray if there is one here today, Lord, that has never been saved, that has never come to you in repentance, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me, Lord, to speak your word in a clear way, that they might understand what that they need to do to be saved. Lord, we pray for your help. We pray for your guidance. Lord, we're not here for a show. We're not here for the applause of men. Lord, we lift your name up, God, that all men might be drawn unto thee. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. I want to preach on four things that the devil does not want you to know. This is a passage I was reading in my personal devotions several days ago. And this account that I began to read here in Matthew 8 is simply amazing to me. And I began to read it again and again. In this account, we find what happens whenever these devils or these demons come face to face with Christ. It is in this account that we find out what happens whenever the forces of Satan meet the Son of God. What amazes me more than anything about this specific account is what that these demons have to say whenever they meet Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, it amazes me that Christ did not have much to say to them. Christ did not say hardly anything. If you read and you study your Bible in the book of Mark in chapter number 5, you read of this very same account. And then in the book of Luke in chapter number 8, you'll read of this same account. And if you put all three of these together, you'll find that Jesus only said two things unto these demons. He said, number one, "What is your name?" They said, "We are legion, for we are many." And then secondly, the only other thing he said was the word "go," and they had to go. Jesus did not have much to say to these demons, but I do find that these demons had quite a bit to say whenever they came face to face with Christ. And what I find is these demons, they actually confessed several truths about God and about Christ that the devil does not want us to know today. They confessed these truths not because they wanted to, but because they had to, because they were face to face with the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And what is done in the dark will be brought to the light. And friend, no matter how much the devil would love to lie to us, whenever he stands before God, he will have to confess the truth about Jesus Christ. Friend, there is coming a day in Philippians chapter 2. He said that God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I've got news that one of those knees that's going to bow and one of those tongues that will confess will be the knee and the tongue of the devil himself. And I will be there on that day whenever Jesus stands there and the devil must confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friend, the devil ain't going to repent, but he must confess. You know what? The devil's a liar. He inserts his foot in his own mouth a lot of times. Adrian Rogers said this about the devil. He's just an old knucklehead. You know what? The devil's got a lot of lies about God today, but whenever his demons stood face to face with Christ, they had to let the truth be known. I want you to look with me four things that the devil does not want you to know. Friend, whether you know it or not, we live in a world that is being deceived by and led by and ruled by Satan himself. Friend, it is not my purpose to preach on Satan this morning, but I think that it's important that we know some things about Satan. First of all, you should know that Satan is the originator of sin. He is the originator of everything that is wicked, everything that is evil, and all iniquity in the world today. It began with Satan. John 8:44 tells us that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of it. He is the very father. He is the father of lies. Sin began with Satan. The beginning began with God, but sin began with Satan. The devil was created by God. He was not created as the devil, but he was created as an angel. He was an angel of light. You want to read about the devil? Look in Ezekiel in chapter 28, and you'll find there that he is described. Did you know at one time the devil was, and I quote, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty? Did you know that at one time the devil was an angel that dwelled in Eden, the garden of God, and he was covered with every precious stone as his garments? You'll also know that at one time he was, and I quote, the anointed cherub that covereth. He was one of the highest and most glorious of the angels. You'll find that he went up to the holy mountain of God. And I quote, he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. But if you look in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, he says, thou, the devil, wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Sin is what transformed an angel into the devil. Friend, sin can wreck anything. The devil, I want you to notice this, he is a self-made devil. God did not create the devil. The devil created himself. How? Because iniquity, sin, was founded and originated in his heart. The Bible says his heart was lifted up with pride because of his beauty, and his wisdom was corrupted by reason of his brightness and his splendor. The devil was lifted up with pride and filled with envy because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God, and he wanted to be worshipped instead instead of God. That is what made the devil the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13, we learn that the devil said in his heart, he said, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. He said, for this he is cast down into the sides of the pit. Second, you need to know that the devil is the originator of sin. But secondly, you need to know that he is the deceiver of this world. The devil wanted worship then. That's what made him the devil. Friend, the devil still wants worship today. That is what the devil is all about. You remember there whenever he tempted Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and he took him up into a high mountain, and he showed him the kingdoms of this world, and he said, all this will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and what? Worship me. He wants worship. And friend, he's not going to get it from God. He's not going to get it from the angels, so he'd like to get it from you. You know what? The devil really doesn't want casualties. He wants converts. He wants this world to worship him instead of God. Did you know in Ephesians 2:2, he is called the prince of the power of the air? Whether you like it or not, at this time, he is the prince of this world. In John 14 and verse 30, Jesus himself calls him the prince of this world. I want you to write this in your margin. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He said, in whom the God of this world, who's that? The devil, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. What's he doing? Blinding the minds of the world, deceiving them. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why does the devil deceive? The devil knows that the only way that he can get man to worship him is by keeping us in the dark about Jesus. He knows he is trying to block the light of the glorious gospel of Christ because he knows if we ever come to Christ, he has no hope of being worshiped. Friend, he is the originator of sin. He is the tempter of man. He is the deceiver of the world. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the enemy of God and the enemy of Christ. And he does not want you to know the truth about Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He does not want you to know the only name whereby we must be saved is Jesus Christ, the way and the truth and the life. The devil is all about deceiving. But here I want you to notice in Matthew 8, these demons come face to face with Christ. And certain truths begin to slip out of the mouths of these liars. Even a liar can't hold back the truth of God. What do we see here? Number one, we'll look at these four things and we'll be done today. Number one, the devil does not want you to know that God is a holy God. But that is the very thing that they have to admit to here in Matthew 8. You say, how is that? Look in Matthew 8 in verse 29. What is the first thing that came out of their mouth? It says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus? What does this mean? In this phrase, these demons are admitting and confessing that they have nothing to do with God and God has nothing to do with them. They know that God has nothing to do with sin or with darkness. This question that they're asking here is not a real question, but a rhetorical question. In other words, they knew the answer to this question. In other words, what do we have to do with thee? Nothing. Jesus has nothing to do with the dark, and the dark has nothing to do with the light. What they are showing here is that God is a holy God, and God will have nothing to do with wickedness. It's not just that Satan doesn't want anything to do with God. It is that God has nothing to do with Satan because of his holiness. The sin of Satan has separated him from God. Friend, they are admitting that God will have nothing to do with wickedness. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, "For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee." There is a separateness from God and from sin. The powers of darkness cannot mix with the God of light, and the workers of wickedness cannot mix with a holy God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And friend, the darkness has nothing to do with the light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, "What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Who's Belial? The devil. You know what that word concord means? It has to do with symphony. It has to do with instruments of music. You know what he's saying? God and the devil don't play together. God and the devil, they're not on the same key. They're not on the same note. In fact, they're not even in the same orchestra. They have nothing to do with each other. The demons don't want anything to do with God, and the feeling is mutual. Why? Because God is a God of light, and in him is no darkness at all. But you know what the devil would like for you to think? The devil would like for you to think that God is okay with our sin. The devil wants you to think that God doesn't really care what that we do. The devil wants you to think that God accepts our sins and our iniquities. Friend, that is a lie, literally, from the devil. The devil knows that God is a holy God, but he does not want you to know that God is a holy God. And here the workers of the devil must admit it. Friend, God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He is a blameless God. He is a sinless God. He cannot sin. He knows no sin. He does no sin. He has no sin. He despises sin. He is a just God. And whether we like it or not, he is angered by our sin. The same sin that separates the devil from God are the same sins that separate us from God. If God has nothing to do with the devil, then what makes you think God would have anything to do with us in our sins? You know what the devil really doesn't want you to know? In Psalms chapter 7, verse 11, he said, "God is angry with the wicked every day." That is not very popular preaching, but that is the word of God. The devil does not want you to know that your sins have separated us from God. God will not have anything to do with unrighteousness, and that includes our unrighteousness. In Isaiah 59:2, he told the nation of Israel, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." What's he saying? God will not have anything to do with unrighteousness. In Psalms chapter 1 verse 5, he said, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." Friend, you know what the devil doesn't want you to know? He does not want you to know that God will not turn a blind eye to your sin. The devil has a lot of people thinking that they're good enough to go to heaven, and none of us are. The devil wants us to think that God will overlook our sins and will for some reason join with us in the midst of our sin. Friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is a holy God. And friend, the sin of these demons separated them from God. But friend, those very same sins are what separate sinners from a holy God. What have we to do with thee? Nothing. There in Ephesians chapter 2, he said, remember now the time in your life whenever we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without hope in this world. How? Because of our sins, we were alienated from God. Friend, if you're here today, friend, I want you to know we have all sinned. That includes me and that includes you. But what you need to know is that God is angry about your sin. And you heard me right. Friend, I want you to notice number two. The second thing the devil does not want you to know. He does not want you to know that Jesus is the Son of God. They said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou teacher? No, they didn't say that. Thou master? No, they didn't say thou prophet. They said, didn't say thou good man. They didn't say thou rabbi. They didn't say thou carpenter. They said thou son of God. Friend, they had more respect unto his position than the people of Israel in that day. They believed he was a prophet. But these demons said, thou son of God. Can you imagine how angry the devil must have been with them when he found out that they admitted with their own mouths that Jesus was the Son of God? You know what? That is the fact that the devil hates the most today, and he does not want us to understand that Jesus is the Son of God. Why does he not want you to know that Jesus is the Son of God? Because our sins have separated us from God. God hates our sins, but yet God is still a God of love. And he has made a way for our sins to be covered and to be atoned for and to be cast behind his back into the sea of forgetfulness. You say, how has he made a way? By his only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know something about that verse? There are in that verse 25 words. The first 12 have to do with God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. That's 12 words all about God. The last 12 words in this verse are all about the world. You know, the one word that connects both of these phrases is the word Son. Friend, you want to know what is going to get the world to Jesus? You want to know the one thing that is going to take us from our sins into a fellowship with Christ? It is all wrapped up in one word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is all about Jesus Christ. You say, how can we be saved? Not by being a good person, not by going to church, not by being baptized, not by giving your money. It is going to be by one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. You know what? The devil wants us to think that Jesus was just a man. He wants us to think that he was a good man at most. Maybe he was a historical figure. He wants us to think he was a prophet or a teacher. But friend, I've got news for you. He is so much more. Friend, he was 100% man, and yet he was 100% God. Friend, he was man in the fact that he hungered, but God in the fact that he fed 5,000. He was man in the fact that he thirsted, but he was God in the fact that he could give a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Why does the devil want us to think that that Jesus is not the Son of God? The devil knows that our salvation hinges on this very fact that Jesus is in fact God. You know what? If Christ were only a man, his death would be meaningless. If Christ were only a man, his death would be meaningless. I'll say this. If Christ were only a man, then he's a liar. If Christ were only a man, then he is an imposter. Oh, but friend, if Jesus is the Son of God, if Jesus is who he says he is, then his death means everything. Friend, if Jesus died only as a man, then he was nothing more than a martyr dying for a good cause. But if Jesus died as the Son of God, that means that he laid down his life a ransom for many and took our sins upon himself and was despised and mocked and rejected and had the very back of the Father to turn to him. And he did it so that you might have life. And friend, his death means everything now. Friend, even Muslims believe that Jesus was a real man, that he died and that he rose again. But they do not believe he is the Son of God. And friend, that is the one fact that our salvation hinges upon. You know why? That he was the Son of God. Friend, only God can satisfy God. And only God can satisfy the wrath of God. And you know what? The devil knows the truth, and he accidentally let it slip. Jesus, thou Son of God. Friend, there is coming a day whenever the devil himself, not just his demons, not just his devils, but whenever Satan himself, that crooked serpent, will stand and he'll look, I believe, on the world that he's deceived. And he must say, Jesus, thou Son of God, Lord over all. You know what? You better get it right on this side of eternity. Friend, or it may be just too late on the other side. Friend, Jesus is the very Son of God. And friend, that is why you and I can be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me, by the Son. You know what? Because he's the Son of God, his death is how Satan was defeated. That's what the devil does not want you to know. But there is no getting around this very fact. Even the devil can't get around it. Number three, the devil does not want you to know that God is a holy God. What have we to do with thee, Jesus? The devil doesn't want you to know that Jesus is the very Son of God. But number three, he does not want you to know there is a place called hell. You say, where do you get that? They said, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to, what? Torment us before the time. What time? What torment do they speak of? Friend, these devils knew that there was coming a time of judgment. They knew that there was going to be a time whenever they and all of their companions would stand before a holy God. And they knew there would be a time when they would be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity, the place that God has prepared for the devil and his angels. And friend, there is coming a time when the devil himself will rule no more. Friend, there's coming a time, thank the Lord, whenever the devil will tempt no more. There is coming a time whenever he will deceive no more. Friend, I've got news. The devil may be the prince of the power of the air. But friend, the prince of peace is on his way. He may be the god of this age, but there is a new age that is coming. He may be the god of this world, but the God of all gods is on his way. He may be a roaring lion, but the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to prevail. You know what one man said about the devil? He's a lion. He's not the true lion of the tribe of Judah, and he may have power today, but there's coming a day when he must stand before God, and he must give account of himself before God, and he will be cast into the lake of fire. There is coming a day when the serpent's head will be crushed. In Jude chapter 6, he said, he, God, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, speaking about the devils and demons. He's reserved them of the judgment of that great day. They know the truth and the reality of hell. The devil knows more about it than anybody. There is coming a day in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 when the devil that deceived the world will be, and I quote, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. You know what? The devil doesn't like to think about this judgment.
I'd like to remind him as many times as I can, wouldn't you? But he doesn't want you to think about it either. The devil knows there's a time coming for him, but he doesn't want you to know. Friend, if you have not called upon the name of Jesus Christ, if you have not repented of your sins, if you have ignored Jesus and rejected him, then I am warning you that the grave is not the end of this matter, and death is not the end of this subject, because the Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Friend, hell was made for the devil and his angels, but if you do not call upon Christ, then you reject him. And if you reject him, that means you line up with the devil. And if you line up with the devil, that means you're going to the same place the devil is going to. That may not be the most glorious thing to say, but it's the truth that you need to know. And it's the truth that the devil does not want you to know. They said, "Will you torment us before the time?" There is a time. Maybe you have a calendar at home. I know you've got one on your phone. There's a day marked on that calendar, and you don't know when it is. And you don't know when it will be or how it's going to take place, but you have an appointment with Mr. Death. And friend, the only thing I can assure you is after this, the judgment. He does not want you to know there is a hell. Number four, and I'm done. The devil does not want you to know that God is a holy God. He will not stand for, nor will he condone, nor will he overlook sin. Can a man serve God and mammon? Two masters? Number two, Jesus is the Son of God, and that is the only way that we're going to be saved. Number three, there is a hell. Number four, the devil does not want you to know that Christ desires to deliver you. Christ yearns for and desires and prays that he might deliver you from the very bondage and oppression of Satan. He doesn't want you to know that. You know what? These devils accidentally let it slip. When they saw Jesus, you know, they possessed two men there. They were so fierce and so mighty that no man could even pass by the way where they lived. And you read in the other accounts of specifically one of those men. Wouldn't wear any clothes. Crazy out of his mind, cut himself and shout and yell and scream and cuss and curse. And they would oftentimes bind him with fetters and he would break the chains. And he was crazy and demented by these demons. But Jesus didn't mind. He passed right, he went right up to him, didn't he? He met him right in the way, face to face. And they said, "If thou cast us out, let us at least go to these swine." They didn't try to fight him. They weren't going to try to club him. They weren't going to try to gang up on him. By the way, their name was Legion. There was many thousands of devils in these men. And they said, "The least you can do is when you cast us out, just put us in these pigs over here." You know what? The powers of darkness are no rival for the light of Jesus Christ. You know something about dark? It does not matter how small a light may be. Darkness cannot overpower that light. There is nothing that darkness can do in the fabric and the makeup of itself to overcome light. They said, "If you're going to cast us out, just get us over there." They knew that God was going to cast them out. You know what? The devil wanted to deliver these men. You can check me on this. Never once did Jesus come in contact with somebody possessed with a devil that he did not cast that devil out. You know why? Because it is God's desire to save us from the bondage of Satan and sin. And friend, there has never been one that has come to God in the name of Jesus that he has turned away. Friend, there's never been one that he has refused to save. There's never been one too bad for him to deliver. There's never been one in too deep of bondage that he could not lift them up out of the shadows of death and sin. Friend, there's never been one. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as wool, white like snow." There's never been a one. God could not save and did not want to save. And friend, that includes you and me today. The devil wants to keep you in bondage, but friend, Jesus wants to free you today. Friend, whether you believe it or not, if you're not saved, if you are not a Christian, then you are a child of the devil. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. And you know what? Jesus Christ has made a way for you to become a child of God. You know what? You know what man's way of suppressing those demons were? They took him and bound him up. The only way for man to free him was to bind him more. Isn't that what we do to ourselves? There are so many people today trying to free themselves from their sin, and they're really only making themselves deeper in bondage by trying to do good things to get out of sin. You know what? When Jesus delivered, he didn't put him in shackles. He freed him. And it says whenever they came, if you look there in Mark 5, one of those men, it says he was sitting upright, talking, in his right mind and clothed. He began to preach Jesus. Jesus wants to deliver you. Jesus can take a possessed man and turn him into a preacher man. Friend, if he can do that, he can save anybody, any one of us. I tell you what I'd like you to do. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus wants to deliver you from bondage. Will you come unto him? Will you be free from your sin? To be honest, I don't know if there is one here today that's not saved, but I want you to know if you're here and you've never been saved, that Jesus desires to save you. And I'm not going to make you get saved, but I will ask that you consider Jesus Christ. Let me remind you these four things, and then we'll pray. God is a holy God. Jesus is the Son of God. There is a hell, but friend, we have a Savior. Do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach your word. We thank you for the liberty and the help. God, I pray that you'd open the blinded eyes to see the glorious light of the gospel of Christ today. Lord, let everything be done for your glory. I pray that you'd give Christians another glimpse of the cross and let us see you on that cross dying for our sins. Father, we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.